Amen. All right. Joshua 23. Amen. Praise the Lord. Huh? Okay. Father, thank you. As we are preparing to end this book, the book of Joshua, that this is not the end of the book. It's the end of this chapter, the end of this portion of the history of our people. Oh, I thought it was the Jewish people. Well, it's our people. Father, we thank you that as we're seeing the end of this chapter, because we see chapters, it was the end of Gina's chapter, and she preached to us. And so every time we have the end of a person's life, they have an opportunity to preach to us as we look at their life. And hopefully their life has been one that has been to the glory of God, speaking things concerning the kingdom of heaven to encourage each one of us. So Father, I thank you today that as we're reading in Joshua, and he prepares for his going home, his home going, that he speaks to not only the children of Israel, but he also speaks to us. And we give you praise and thanks for that word, that speaking, because your word is always speaking to us. It's a miracle. It speaks to us even when it doesn't seem like it was written to us. It's speaking to us, and we give you praise to let us have ears to hear. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You know, the Word of God speaks to you, no matter what verse it is. Jesus wept. Jesus just spoke. The Word just spoke to you. Amen. Just that little verse, Jesus wept. That tells you Jesus wasn't just a wisp of a spirit. Jesus was a man. Jesus had tenderness and a human heart to him. He came to the tomb of Lazarus, and he knew Lazarus as a friend, but he also knew that he was fixing to raise him from the dead. Why wouldn't you be jumping up and down? Why wouldn't you be, boy, just waiting 5 minutes? We'll see how everybody's feeling then. No, Jesus wept. I'm not preaching on Jesus wept today, but I'm just saying that you just hold tight on that one. You'll get something there. Go read it. Go read the passage. Find out what Jesus was talking about. But what I'm saying to you is that every word of God is valuable. Every word of God will change your life. Read the begats. I just skip over the begats. You know, we can go back if you want, and I can read Joshua chapter 12 through about, 12 through about 22, you know, or 20. And it reads you all about the borders of the land. Well, if you were to read all the borders of the land, you would find out a lot of stuff. And it would be, and then you would dig into it, like Raul, you would dig into it and find out where that land was and the border to that land and that river over there and that creek over there. You know, you would find out what, and then you dig in further and find out who had that land, who that got given to. And we just didn't, I didn't feel like the Lord said go through all that, but you can do that. Amen. I mean, it's all in there. It's been in there for years. You can still go through it. You know, it's right there in the book of Joshua. You can open it up and you can see right there, Joshua chapter 14. And you could just read right through that. And it'll change your life. Do you believe it'll change your life? Amen. Joshua 14 will change your life. Amen. The Word of God, it's all in there for purpose. It's all in there for a reason. Well, how come we had to read that, you know, or read the begats? So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And sometimes it got extra words in between, so to read a whole begat, you got to read a whole verse, you know, and it's just one guy and another guy. But no, God wants you to hear His Word. Amen. He wants you to hear it. So let's look at here in Joshua 23. And he says, And it came to pass. Well, that means it came along, it came to pass. In a period of time, along in a given period of time, and it came to pass. A long time after that the Lord had given rest to Israel from their enemies round about, and Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Well, thanks, God. You know, here's the record of Joshua. God's writing it down, or Joshua's writing it down, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in years. Well, that's a good report. You know, something you want to put in your book, you know, is that Joshua waxed old and stricken in years. God, did you have to put that in there? You know, you imagine that. I mean, if you're talking about Willis, you know, and we remember when Willis was old, you know. Yeah, you think about that. You know, you're sitting there in your old chair and you're 90 and you're talking about how old you are. But he says, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel. So he was gaining in that age. He was increasing in age as this long period of time after God had given rest to Israel. See, when we began talking in, say, around chapter 12, when he started dividing up the land, you remember he had gone through several iterations, several battles with several kings, and they had taken the land to on the western side, or the west bank of the Jordan River, and he had taken this land. And so they were taking the land a little bit at a time. Joshua could be boring. I mean, you know, maybe you don't like his. Maybe you didn't even like history in high school or in junior high. You didn't like it, maybe. You know, and it's just a bunch of dates and times and names and people who are dead and places that don't exist anymore that I don't want to pay attention to. But God has a plan and a storyline that he wants you to be aware of. He wants you to follow him and know that he created a people for himself, and he's carrying that people along. You know, the reason that he's talking about all that is to put truth to it, to put understanding and a record to it. You remember even in the Gospels, he talks about Pilate, Pontius Pilate was the leader of the Roman legion there in Jerusalem. Well, there was a time factor on that. And then over when John the Baptist come in, they gave names to the Jewish officials who were there. And they gave names to the Roman officials who were in charge at the time of Jesus and the time of John the Baptist. Because he gives a record in the Bible that goes forward, leading you to know that these things happened, whether you read it in secular history or whether you read it in the Bible. Same is true back in the books of the Kings and the Chronicles, is that he talks about the kings that were in the nation. Sennacherib, Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Darius, you know, he talks about these particular kings. Well, these are kings that are named, and many others, named in secular history, that they are included in the dealings that Israel had, you know, with their comings and goings in the ancient history. In their ancient history. So all of these things are important. The Bible carries through not only the plan of salvation and the plan of God for Israel and the plan of God for the Gentiles, but he carries together the history of this thing actually happened. And so when you read the Bible, you're finding out that these things really happened. And you bring it back to anybody who was talking to you, said, no, here's this guy, and here's this guy, and here's this guy. And then you read in Nebuchadnezzar, or in Daniel chapter 4, how Nebuchadnezzar, after he got sent out to the garden and was out in the backyard eating grass for about a year, that he came back to his senses, and what did he do? He wrote a declaration, and he said, you people, hear me, worship the God of Daniel. Worship the God of Daniel. And then the king after Artaxerxes, I think it's Artaxerxes. No, it's Darius. In Darius, in uh, later in Daniel chapter 6 when he throws him in the lion's den and then he pulls him out. And then the very next, the end of that chapter in chapter 6 talks about how Darius says, by the way, all you people, all the people in all lands everywhere, worship the God of Daniel.
Amen.
He saved this guy out of the lion's den. I couldn't save him, but God, his God saved him. Isn't that powerful? So we have these secular figures integrating into the story of the King of Kings. Amen. So that's what this is all about. So now we have, here back in Joshua's day, a long time after they had destroyed all the Amorites and Perizzites and Girgashites and all these ites, that, and then he had doled out all the land to all the people and he divided it up among them, but they still weren't done. So a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel, so he gave them rest. So they rested from those battles, okay? And Joshua had gotten old during this period of time. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and said to them, I am old and stricken in years. There he is, stricken in age. Another thing is by this time, now you remember a couple of chapters ago, they began to talk about how they were setting up their civilization, their government, their nation. They're setting up the nation. They doled out all the land to all the tribes, right? Okay, and then they created cities of refuge. Maybe you remember we talked about that. They created cities of refuge for the justice system. So if somebody accidentally killed somebody, they could run to this place and be able to wait for the truth to come out instead of them just chasing you down and killing you. You know, there's a place that you can go, and by law, you were safe there until the judgment, a proper judgment was made on that crime. And it was usually a second degree murder. Somebody, you know, an axe head fell off and hit somebody while you were working, you know, and they died and you killed them, but you didn't mean to kill them in that case. Okay, so we had that portion of it. And then the next portion was when they doled out, they set up the, in this case, it was the theocracy. So they set up places for the Levites, which were the priesthood tribe, who didn't get any land, but they were given houses or cities and pasture land for their livestock. So they didn't have an inheritance of land. So because from generation to generation, the priests did the work of the temple, and so they had a personal property, you know, like animals and you know, furniture and things like that, but they did not have land that they owned as a tribe. So he's setting that up. So all during this period of time, all I'm saying is that they're creating a society that God was setting up for them, which basically is the same society that you know, the nation of Israel has now reconstituted today. Back in 1948, they reconstituted with some of that land that was, you know, allocated to them through the United Nations. Now, does the United Nations give Israel its land? No. Who gives Israel its land? God. So do they have all the land? Not yet. So they have had all this. So during this period of time, he gathers together all. So now they have elders and heads and judges and officers. So they have groups of people who are in charge of things, you know, like we have. We've got senators and representatives and presidents and judges, and then we have state leaders. You know, we have all of these things that have been set up and for our land and our leaders. So when Joshua pulls all of them together, he's pulling their leaders together. That's interesting, isn't it? So he's not only the people, but the leadership of the land. And so that's what we need to be doing also here, is our president should be pulling together the leaders of the land and to worship God. Amen? Now, I know this is a theocracy. The United States, in its capacity as a nation, is a republic. However, it was founded by people who believed in Almighty God. And they put leaders in positions that were worshipers of, or if they didn't worship Almighty God, they honored and respected the living God who created heaven and earth. They knew that there was a God, and they didn't know about Jesus, perhaps, or, you know, but they knew that there was a God, and they, you know, said, this guy's got a good plan, and we're gonna rule according to this plan. We're gonna set up a nation, because all of the ways that they set up the nation were based on the Bible. Everything they used to set up this nation was based on biblical law and biblical justice. You know, we talk about social justice today. As we try to make everybody equal according to whatever they want to do. Well, that doesn't apply, because biblical justice is what rules the world. The reason biblical justice rules the world is it's the laws of God, nature, and nature's God. The laws of nature and nature's God. Homosexuality is not part of the laws of nature or nature's God. Transsexualism is not the nature's and is not God's law and nature's God. All of these things. So he created the nation. The people who came to this nation created it based on God's law. So he brings together all of these folks a long time. So already you've been doing things. There's been a number of years now that since the battles have been fought, you know, there's kids have grown up. Joshua's gotten older. You know, they've been kind of living under this new, brand new kind of Israeli lifestyle and regime for a number of years now. And how many know you can forget things real fast? Anybody remember what it was like in the 50s? In the 60s? I remember a little bit of it. I remember some things. But it seems like such a long time ago now. And things change so quickly. Things are different now, way different than they were when I was young. And they change quicker and quicker as time goes by, it seems. And that's true of every generation. And every generation quickly forgets. And actually, when you read this in the scripture, every generation quickly forgets God. Quickly forgets what God did. Amen? Quickly forgets what Jesus did. So he brought them together. You know, I think I'm getting old. You know, maybe Jim should have done that. Brought us, had a kind of a gathering, you know, before he left. You know, he should have called all the elders and the deacons and the officers and the people together and said, you know, I'm getting old.
Well, at least we had a gathering.
We did have a gathering afterwards. Yeah, right, exactly.
Not even before they died.
Well, it's true. We did, yeah. Amen. We had his 50 years, remember that?
Yes.
We had that 50 years in ministry, right, but in 2019. I'm glad you brought that. I'm glad you remember that, Chad. Yeah. See, I forgot it. Totally just went off my head. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. But we had that in our hearts to do, is to have that 50-year, you know, maybe this is Joshua's deal, you know, maybe that was his deal, his 50-year thing. And, you know, and we had everybody. You can still get that book of testimonies, you know. With Pastor Jim, the guy, a friend of ours down in Houston, did a little caricature of Pastor Jim on the front page. Do y'all remember that? You know, the ministry of Pastor Jim, you know. And we can still get that. And there's testimonies of what God did in people's lives. Yeah, we'll get a whole nother batch of those and bring them over. So here he is, and he's fixing to speak to him. And you have seen, verse 3, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. This is chapter 23, verse 3 in Joshua. And he's done to the God has done to all of these nations because of you. Talking to the people. For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you. Behold, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan River, with all the nations that I have cut off, even to the great sea westward. So, say here's the, my arm up here is the river, Jordan, and my son, Jordan, and on to the great sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea. So that whole area, see, Joshua had given by lot, by, you know, means of determining how to divide up something. And he gave them this land, but they had not taken all the land. There's still land to be conquered. You know, they'd conquered some kings, five kings here, five kings here. You know, and then they killed the kings and said, okay, we've put their foot on their necks. You know, you remember that part? And showed that those kings were defeated because those were kings where God gave them. God had already given them that land from the foundation of the world. Just people were on it, and they needed to be removed from the land. So verse 5, and the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you. So he's given you all the land that those other nations are still on, and he is going to expel them. He shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land, and the Lord your God, as the Lord your God has promised you. Remember, we talked about possessing our land. Well, our land is not land. Our land is, like we talked about this morning, our land is us. And Scripture says, let every one of you know how to possess his vessel. And let every one of you know how to possess his vessel in glory and honor. Amen? That's over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I believe, 4. Be you therefore, now look at verse 6. So God promised this land to you, and you're going to possess it. He said, be you therefore very courageous. Well, it sounds familiar in this book. To keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside from the right hand or to the left. So we're right back to the very beginning. Even before Joshua, remember Joshua said this in Joshua 1, verse 8 and 9. He said, even before they began to take Jericho, before they even began to walk over the river Jordan from the east to the west to come across it, that he said, be you courageous. And let not this law, book of the law, depart from you to the right hand or to the left. And see, here's what he's beginning to say is, I'm old. And this stuff that happened, that you saw happen, and now your kids were 2 and 3, and now your kids are, or maybe your kids are 20 and 30, and now they're 50 and 60 and 70. So you're old, and your kids are also old. But by now, you've got television, right? By now, you've got restaurants that have built up in the neighborhood, and you've got traffic lights, and, you know, got cars, nice cars that are paid for. So you're in pretty good shape now, and you kind of forget what it was like to fight. You know, I look at my kids, you know, still, I mean, in their mid, Jordan and Luke are almost 40. So, but their kids are still little, you know, so they're still, you know, kind of fighting those battles. Janet and I, our kids were, we had our kids, you know, when we were like 24. So, you know, our kids were, by the time we were 40 and 50, you know, our kids were, Oh, yeah, we started. Well, that, yeah, we started over. Okay. But we're still, it's just us. We didn't start out with new people. You know, people look at us and go, oh, you wondered about how come we had those girls later. Was that a different wife or something, you know, or a different husband? No, we just take a breather in between, you know, take a little rest. I call it, we retooled the factory. We were having boys and then we changed and had girls. Took a long time to retool the factory. At any rate, so all of these people, they're finding that, you know, they're living under this new government and everything is going well. It's the 50s. You know, it's like living in the 50s. Everything seems to be going okay. No more wars after Korea until you get to Vietnam. So, but he tells them, be very courageous. There's things that haven't been done yet. Things haven't been finished yet. Oh, really? Oh, well, I thought we were pretty much done. You know, in the kingdom of God, we're not done. Do you know, in the kingdom of God, we're not done. You will never be done with the kingdom of God as long as you're breathing on this earth. Amen? So we're looking at our lives with our houses and our cars and our kids, and we get distracted by those things that say, oh, yeah, well, I got too much. I got a lot to do. Man, just, you know, I'll try to fit that in. I'll try to fit some God in, you know. And it's not that you want to fit God in. It's that don't leave him behind. Amen. It's I don't want to leave him behind. He is always in front. Amen? But it seems like, okay, we're all getting old. We're all losing steam. And here Joshua's coming up saying, don't lose steam. Don't lose steam. Continue to worship God. Make God, put God out front and make him your exceeding, he is your exceeding great reward. Look at remember what he did. And remember, that's why we do testimonies every week here, right? I mean, I think it's great we do testimonies every week. You know, some places they don't do testimonies. You don't hear from the people, right? I mean, if you want to make the church bigger, just invite people to come, tell them they can say something. Tell them they can talk. Even if they're depressed, they can still talk. You know, we'll encourage them. You know, amen. So bring somebody. Tell them they can talk. And is that because we want them to be encouraged? We want them to know that, you know, God is that we want to hear from them but encourage them. You know, so a lot of time you want to hear from somebody so that they let their depression come out a little bit, right? So that they're not just sitting there steaming or stewing or depressed, but they're actually engaged with us and saying, hey, yeah, I had kind of a rough week this week. Things just didn't seem to work out quite as like I had wanted to do, you know? But then we can have space to encourage each other, right? Amen? You have space to encourage each other. That's one of the purposes of coming together, that you confess your faults to one another, that you may be healed. You have difficulties. So we come together because the world is hard. We come together to worship God together because the world is not a great place. Oh, man, I had to go to church. I don't know how I'm going to fit that in because I got so much else to do. No, you got to come to church because you have to, because you need that help. You need that rest. He said, don't forsake. What did he say over in Hebrews chapter 10, 25? He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some, but even the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. As you see trouble, this place should be full, right? Because, I mean, the day of the Lord is coming. And people, you know, but people are, you know, doing other things. And Joshua was saying, he got them all together. Did you notice that? He got all the elders and the leaders and the rulers and the judges and everybody, you know, got a big gang together. So you be therefore, verse 6, very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, and turn on to the side, to from the right to the left. Don't turn aside to the right or the left. So that, verse 7, you come not among those nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them. Don't include them in your law. Don't be putting your hand on the Quran, you know. Neither serve them, nor bow yourselves to them. But cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. So I'm fixing to die. I'm fixing to not be here anymore. But I'm telling you, don't leave behind the law of God. Don't let that be out of your sight and out of your mind and out of your heart. And don't come among these nations. Here the nations are still around. Some of them are still around that you haven't yet defeated. So, but don't let them come around and take up residence. How many have heard of the squatters thing we got now? The squatters, everybody's got, but you got people who are coming into homes that are, they're not even abandoned. Somebody was gone 2 weeks, you know, on vacation, and all of a sudden there's people in their house. And all of a sudden somehow there's some weird law that says you can't kick a person out of a house. If they got in, you can't kick them out. You know? It's illegal for you to kick them out. Well, here they are. Don't let them squat in your house. Don't let them squat in your life. You know, a lot of times, we send our kids to public schools, but we're not in charge of the schools. Ooh, that's not a good idea. Sending your kid, because you've got to be watch. You've got to be watchful of what's going on there. Because the people who are in charge there have different ideas than you do. And they want to, and they want your kids. They like kids. They like kids because they are changing the entire society and saying, okay, to your kids, well, that wasn't nice to not like that person for that reason. You know, and so they're gonna teach your kids without you knowing it. They're gonna teach your kids things that you don't know. And you have to be watchful. You have to just understand that the world is not a godly place. And there's so much going on. So teaching your kids to be watchful. Teaching your kids to be godly and to know. And to, in fact, if that's where they are, you teach their kids how to preach and how to teach and how to resist ungodly transitions. Amen. But cling to the Lord your God as you have this day, to this day. Now, verse 9, for the Lord has driven out from before you great nations. These nations weren't little tinies. These nations weren't little podunk, you know, nothing. They were big. They had power. So in other words, God moves on the inside of you to move out great nations. Can God do that? There are great nations in our nation. Nations of ungodliness, nations of hatred, nations of wickedness that are in and among this nation. Amen? It's true? Why? Because they have not regarded the Lord God. They do not regard the Lord God. For the Lord has driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. So God is, because of God, He has caused you to stand. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fights for you as He has promised you. Take good heed, listen, verse 11. Take good heed, therefore, to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. I like that. Take good heed to yourself. It's kind of examine yourself, like he tells you in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 before you take the communion. Examine yourselves whether there be any wicked way in you. Examine yourself. Amen? Not that you're going to fix it, but repent. Repent that God, because God already redeemed you from any wicked way, didn't he? So examine yourself. Over in Hebrews, he says, take heed to the word that you have heard, lest at any time you should let it slip. Amen. Take heed. Pay attention. Paul said, the Apostle Paul put it this way. He says, walk circumspectly. Know what that means? Look in a circle. That means look ahead. Here he said, don't turn to the left. Don't even turn to the left or the right away from the Word of God or the love of God. But he says, walk circumspectly, knowing that the days are evil. So you walk circumspectly means look 360 degrees. Have eyes in the bay like a mom. Have eyes in the back of your head. Remember how we used to talk about moms? Mom's got eyes in the back of her head. Like Janet or Kathy, you know, or Joe. Got eyes in the back of her head. Brassus is growing eyes in the back of her head. And when she's got kids, she's going to use them. Cynthia. Amen. I don't know about the men, but the women, they have eyes in the back of their head. So walk circumspectly, knowing your environment. Amen. Knowing that you don't live in a nice neighborhood. I do. No, you don't live in a nice neighborhood. You live in this world and there's snakes. So what he's saying is he's drawing all these people together and saying, you guys have kind of been able to relax for a little while, but I just want you to know, I'm fixing to die. You can't depend on me anymore. You won't be able to depend on me. So he's pulling all the leaders together. And he's saying, now, you know, because I'm a leader, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to die. But I'm going to tell you to look to the Word of God. Don't look to me, look to God. Look to the Lord. For us, look to Jesus. Every day. This is the book of Joshua, right? He brought them out of the wilderness, across the river, into the promised land, and began to take the promised land. That's the ministry of Joshua. Take the land. Okay? Verse 12, if you were to any wise go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, even that these that remain among you. Apparently there's some that are still there. You remember the Gibeonites? Remember the town of Gibeon? The ones who came in? Go back and read chapter 9. The Gibeonites were the ones who came up to them. They're the only ones that the Israelites didn't destroy because they came in and made like they had ragged clothes, and they'd been traveling for months to get there. And they were just next door. I mean, they even had bad bread, moldy bread. You know, so they snuck in and said, "Hey, make a covenant with us and protect us." Well, it turns out they were the next door neighbors. But they were smart because they didn't want to die. But I got news for you. They were still Gibeonites. They helped them, but they still had a vestige of their old life. They didn't convert. The scripture doesn't tell you that they completely converted. But it tells them because Israel made a covenant with them because they believed their story that they invited them in. But you know what? When you invite people in, you got to know what you're inviting in. You want to be cautious and to know that you're not going to take into you whatever they've got. Even though they look like they're the sweet, I mean, the Cleavers, you know, the next door neighbors. I don't know any of the new TV comedies and families or something, you know. But I know the Cleavers, you know. Yeah, Leave It to Beaver. Maybe the Cunninghams, you know, Happy Days, you know. And Howard and Marion Cunningham look nice, but I never heard them talk about Jesus. So, they just kind of lived in the world. And you got to be careful when people are coming into your world and that you need to talk to them. I mean, Luke used to talk about going down the street. That's our confession of not paying attention. Is Luke would say, "Hey, I'm going down the street." Well, down the street was not a good place. Down the street was some neighbor kids that were not the best influence, and there was a problem there, and it became a bigger problem. And not that he hung out down there, but he learned some problems. And so you got to watch for that in your neighborhood. Amen. He didn't even go to school with these kids, you know, but they were just the neighbor kids down the street. So you watch out for those neighbor kids. And if you know any younger kids, you teach them. Be careful about that. Right? You know, if you're old enough to know better, you teach younger kids. Watch out for that. Thank God you're working in, you know, camp that's helping, you know, to teach kids who are in circumstances that could be, you know, could get into a conflict that way, that you teach them how to fight against it, fight for the things of Jesus. Amen? Mm-hmm. Know for a certainty, verse 13, that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off of this good land which the Lord your God has given you. So I probably didn't finish verse 12. So, or else if you do in any wise go back, cling to the remnant of these nations, and cling to the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you. If you were to do that, if you were to let them get close and blend and mix with you, then the Lord your God will no more drive them out from you. In other words, you invited them in. So the Lord said, "Okay, you decided to do that. Because I told you no. I told you don't do that. I told you remain separate." Verse 14. "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." Oh, today. So Joshua's got a ticket out. Today. He knew he was leaving that day. Or at least pretty soon. "And behold, this day," so perhaps it's, since we're meeting together, I'm telling you that this event is probably close at hand. "I am going the way of all the earth." You can tell I'm old. "And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass to you, and not one thing has failed thereof." So God's done His job. God did what He promised He was going to do. "Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God has promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things." As the good things, just as the way the good things came, these evil things are going to come. Oh, guaranteed. You open the door, and here they come. Well, did they? I think they did. I told you before, they took prayer out of school 3 generations ago. Look what happened. Oh, that's not because of that. I guarantee you it's because of that. There's no child in America that's heard the name of God in a corporate setting on a daily basis since 1963. They used to. They have it since. Just the name of God will change a nation. Amen? Just the name of God will change a nation. I mean, if you can get out there today and change the laws in your nation, the laws in your city, to have somebody say, Almighty God, not even Jesus, just Almighty God in front of everybody, especially kids, you'll change the nation. You change the whole school. Here we go. So, it shall come to pass that in the same way, or that as all good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, this is old covenant. But I tell you, even in the new covenant, if you forsake the word of God and you forsake the love of God, you're going to find that all of these wicked and evil things will chase you down. Huh? These wicked and evil things will chase you down. Verse 16, finally. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish from off the good land which he has given to you. Now, in saying that, in reading that, is that when you have forsaken the word of God and the promises of God, he's already told you. These things happen when you forsake the goodness of God. These things happen when you forsake the goodness of God. Perhaps he's going to come get you. I believe this is under the new covenant, is that you forsake the new covenant, you forsake walking in the presence of the Lord, then you have taken yourself out from under the covering of his promises. Amen? Worship God. Live in his presence. Give thanks to God. Read his word. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And let it transform and change you. Let this word of God transform and change you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These things, as you worship him, as you continue in his presence, as you continue in the word and in the presence of the Lord, as you are in John 17, one with the Father, one with the Son, one with one another. Hebrews 10:25, gathering together, ministering to one another. It's my encouragement to you to encourage others. Amen? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But this is Joshua talking to the people of God before he goes to be with the Lord. Amen. And he says, he gathered all the tribes together there in verse 24, chapter 24, again, all the elders and their judges and their officers, and presented themselves before God. And Joshua here talks about the history of Israel. He talks about how God took them out from the days of Terah, Abraham's grandfather, all the way to Joshua bringing them across the River Jordan. He even talks about Balaam. Kind of went through the Balaam period. Now, therefore, the fear of the Lord, verse in chapter 24, verse 14, the fear of the Lord, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood. We talked about the gods of the people before the flood came, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're dwelling. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you're going to serve some gods over here who promised one thing, or some gods who you're living with, 24:15. Verse 24:15. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake other gods, for the Lord is our God. He said, well, it's a hard God to serve if you read on. If you mess up, He'll come get you. And so they made a covenant. Said, no, we're going to serve this God. We're going to serve the God of gods, our God, the King of kings. And then Joshua put up a stone in Shechem. It was a testimony. And the stone was a witness to their commitment to the Lord. And that's our commitment to the Lord. Our commitment is to Jesus. We've given our hearts to Jesus. Now, we have a better covenant based on better promises. It's not based on us doing. It's based on what He did, isn't it? So our covenant is based on what He did. And Joshua said to all the people, verse 27 of chapter 24, behold, this stone shall be a witness for us, to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which He spoke to us. It shall be therefore a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man to his inheritance. And it came to pass after those things, verse 29, that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Ephraim on the north side. And Israel served the Lord God all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. And they brought, and the bones of Joseph, which they brought up out of Egypt, were buried in Shechem. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. And they buried him in a hill that pertained unto Phinehas, his son, which was given in Mount Ephraim. Lord, we thank You for Joshua. For Jesus. And Jesus leads us into the promised land. Our Lord Jesus. Even as Joshua led His people into the promised land. As a type and a shadow of what Jesus Christ is doing for us. So Father, we thank You that we are looking circumspectly that we do not depart from this promise, this covenant, to the right hand nor to the left. But we believe that the promise that you made, you are bringing it to pass. Father, let us not allow other kingdoms to reign in our lives or the lives of our kids. But even as in the Old Testament, you shall take these promises and teach them to your children and your children's children. Father, we thank you. And we give you praise that you have redeemed us to the uttermost. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you for this book of Joshua. Amen. Amen. Jack, can you serve us the communion? Raul.
You know, I think that's awesome about that the book of Joshua and everything that basically that happens after that is that the land of